Welcome to Your Encore, a Legacy Leader podcast series. Legacy Leaders is an encore program of the Cleveland Leadership Center. Today, our guest is Peter Lawson Jones. Peter, as I was reading your biography, it says you're an American actor, philanthropist, and politician of the Democratic Party, a resident of Shaker Heights, Ohio, and you formerly served as county commissioner in Cuyahoga County. Right now you're an actor, and thank you for coming to Your Encore, because this is where our listeners will learn about how do they move forward or propel into their second, third, or fourth act. Peter, welcome.
Well, Claudia, it's good to be on Your Encore with you, and I actually should point out that I'm still a practicing attorney. I've been licensed to practice law in the state of Ohio since 1980. I have a consulting practice. I teach acting, and I'm a playwright. I've written three plays that have been professionally staged. So I do even a little more than acting, and having served as an elected official and really on three levels as a county commissioner my last 9 years of public service, or elective service, I should say, and as a state representative. And I started out as a councilman and for a couple of terms, vice mayor of Shaker Heights. So I've had a lot of fun during my time on this level.
It sounds like you've had a lot of fun doing it. And I love it because as I was looking, and when you mentioned that you are still a practicing attorney, your education was at Harvard University and also Harvard Law School. How did that help to prepare you as you move through your career?
Well, I think it's always helpful in terms of shaping your perspective, your worldview, and kind of shaping and contouring your aspirations when you're in the midst of and interacting on a regular basis with people who are smarter than you. And there's a lot, certainly, that I learned culturally and educationally at Harvard to go to school with and to learn from and compete with some of the best minds of my generation was an honor and privilege. You know, it's interesting. My college roommate, Greg Pennington, I always give him credit, because but for him, I don't know if I ever would have started acting. And but for him, I don't know if I ever would have written my first play. But he was kind of an inspiration to me because he was a Renaissance guy, good athlete, very creative, smart. And it was at his invitation that I went to a rehearsal that ended up in me landing my first role on stage back as a freshman at Harvard College. And it was because of the creativity I witnessed from him as a poet and as a visual artist that I said, I'd like to do something creative. And I ended up selecting playwriting. And so that's been a fulfilling part of my life as well. So there were some direct and indirect benefits from having attended Harvard College and then Harvard Law School. What's interesting, right now I'm in a production at Cleveland Public Theater of Requiem, the North American professional English language premiere of this play that has been translated into 27 languages and performed everywhere except North America until the last couple of weeks. And several of my law school classmates traveled as far away from as Denver to actually attend a performance. So I've benefited in terms of the friendships that I made while I was at Harvard College and at Harvard Law School. And certainly those classmates have served inspirational purpose for me when I watch their achievements and see what they've been able to accomplish. And it keeps me going and searching for higher levels and higher heights.
That sounds great. You know, and as a lawyer, you did serve, as you mentioned, for the people of Cleveland as the Cuyahoga County Commissioner. Before I dive into the acting, because I'm so curious and interested in learning about now that act of your life, tell me, what was the best part of your job being a Cuyahoga County Commissioner?
Well, I would say the best part of my political career, the most rewarding and fulfilling, was being in a position where I, sometimes alone, oftentimes working with my colleagues, could improve the lives of citizens in Ohio when I was a state representative, citizens of Cuyahoga County when I was a county commissioner, citizens in Shaker Heights when I served on the Shaker Heights City Council and as vice mayor. I mean, oftentimes just with a phone call or the stroke of a pen or the creation of a program, you could assist deserving individuals, organizations, and businesses in expanding their services and in realizing their potential. So that was the greatest benefit of being an elected official and having the honor of being a public servant. What I liked about serving in the Ohio General Assembly was that we were always dealing with fascinating substantive issues of the time. I mean, the same things that people were discussing and debating on the federal level, we were often doing the same on the state level. What I liked about being county commissioner is that there were only three of us who were decision makers. And the Cuyahoga County Fatherhood Initiative, that was something that I proposed. Cuyahoga Arts and Culture, I played a major role, and I was the public sector face in terms of the creation of Cuyahoga Arts and Culture, which has provided funding for arts and cultural organizations and for artists throughout the county over the last 10 to 15 years. I also initiated a number of economic development programs, kind of expanding what the county did as an economic driver in this region. So I enjoyed, for different reasons, my service as a state legislator vis-a-vis my service as a county commissioner.
Well, Peter, you certainly made an impact. So leaving then, retiring, what you consider your retiring?
No. That word is not in my vocabulary.
Okay.
and the best way to get a rise out of me, which my kids know and my wife know they could do, is by saying, "Oh, Dad, you're retired." No, I mean, I'm still every week I'm either rehearsing, performing, or auditioning for some acting project. I'm still practicing law. I have an active consulting practice. I teach acting a 2.5-hour class every week at First Team Actors Studio, which was co-founded by Angela Boehm, who's arguably the top casting director in this region. So, no, I'm always busy. I serve on the Ohio Arts Council. Governor DeWine appointed me to that about 15, 16 months ago. And I'm involved and engaged in other civic activities and pursuits. I am hardly retired. When you hear that I've been retired, you'll probably be at my funeral.
Well, you know, that's what, and I love that, because that's the reason for our podcast, for our listeners to know that there are many different acts in one's life. So as you then have transitioned throughout your career, I mean, just the actor, the playwright, starring in plays and films, what is it about acting that turned you on?
Well, I've told this story often, so maybe some of your listeners have heard it, but if you'd asked me when I was 10 years old what I wanted to do, I would have told you I wanted to be a professional baseball player, an actor, and an elected official. And I knew that at the age of 10, notwithstanding the fact that I didn't know a professional athlete. I didn't know any professional athlete. And I wasn't aware of any politicians in my family. I later found out that my uncle, one of my dad's brothers, served on the school board in a community just outside of Camden, New Jersey. And my dad did play for a summer, but as an amateur, in the Negro Baseball Leagues with the Newark Eagles, in between his graduating from high school and his first year in college. But I didn't really have immediate role models in that regard. I just knew what seemed to be exciting to do. And it was exciting to be a professional athlete. It was exciting to be an actor. It was exciting to be engaged in the world of politics. And that resonated with me at an early age. And I've been just extraordinarily fortunate that I've been able to pursue the two most realistic of my aspirations and passions throughout my life. So I suppose to some extent it's not surprising. I encourage people to pursue their passions, because if you pursue something you enjoy doing, then you're probably going to do well at it because you're going to be willing to make the commitment that's required to be the best at it, to be successful at it. And, you know, when people are considering retirement from their current employer or occupation or vocation, I ask them, well, are there other things that excite you? And if so, it's never too late, except maybe being a professional athlete, to pursue those things. I mean, I got started acting again at the age of 55, at a time when many people would have thought that kind of dream is completely out of reach and unobtainable. But it wasn't. And it wasn't because I had a modicum, I had the requisite amount of talent to do it, and I had the drive and determination. And what I found is the things that allowed me to be successful in other realms were the same qualities that I could apply to be successful as an actor. The ability to network, making sure that when people interacted with you, they left with a positive view, being a source of energy as opposed to a source of what enervates and drains. You know, all of those kinds of qualities were transferable across vocational platforms.
And when you say actor, I mean, you've certainly appeared in over 20 films, from what I've read, on network television, on stages. As you mentioned, you're on stage now. You've received the 2016 Indie Gathering International Film Festival Best Ohio Supporting Actor Award. And is it fair for me to ask, of all the acting roles you've done so far, which one has been your favorite?
And there are a couple. On stage, I would say the Pulitzer Prize winning play, Ruin, when it was performed at Caramu, because it required me to affect a Congolese accent. And I had lines that were in French and lines that were in Swahili, and the emotional range of the character was vast. So that was a great role. Playing the lead in Ceremonies and Dark Old Men at Kiramu was extraordinarily fulfilling, particularly because when I was in college, I had not been cast in that play when I auditioned. So to return to that 30 or 40 years later, and knowing that I brought things to the play in, I believe it was 2014 or 15, that I could not conceivably have brought to that role in that play in 1975. That was extremely fulfilling again. The current play that I'm in, Requiem, particularly in that it tracks the travels of an older man to death, to his demise. And as he reflects on all the misconnections during his life, the things that he had failed to appreciate, that's a great cautionary tale. And that reminds me to keep embracing and engaging life and taking advantage of every opportunity that's afforded me. So those are three of the plays, and I could name others that were, you know, the first play I was in when I started acting again in 2008, I believe it was, Bourbon at the Border, a great role. And it's one of the best reviews I've ever received because the person reviewed talked about my sexual dynamism on stage. So I need to bronze that and frame it and put it on my wall.
That's great. That's
but in terms of film and in terms of TV, certainly working with Tom Hanks in A Man Called Otto was an otherworldly experience. I mean, I still can't believe to this day that I was actually doing a number of scenes where it was just Tom and me. And I mean, one of the greatest actors, bar none, and without dispute, of our generation, and to be on the same set, let alone in the same scenes with him on a regular basis over a period of a month and a half, was just a remarkable experience because he is a genius as an actor and as an artist, an extraordinarily funny man, great sense of humor, and just a wonderful human being. I'd say in terms of the film, the TV show, when I started on Chicago Fire, there were just such powerful scenes I had in that, including the closing scene in the film. And I remember when we were shooting it, the director jumping up at the end of the filming of that particular scene, which again was the concluding scene in the that particular episode. And he rises to his feet and he says to the lead actor, Imam Walt, he says, "Imam, remember what I told you about directing? This is why I love to direct, because occasionally I get a chance to do a scene like this." And it was a very emotional and poignant scene. And to be there with another great actor, Iman Walker, and we actually improvised a very important moment in that scene, that was a remarkable experience. So I could go on and on. I've had the good fortune at this juncture to perform in movies with three Academy Award winners: Matthew McConaughey, Tom Hanks, and Daniel Kaluuya, two Emmy Award winners, Cicely Tyson and Michael Imperioli. And not just being in the scenes with them has meant so much to me, but having the opportunity to sit down and have candid, frank, open conversations with each and every one of them, and they were so open and engaging. That was just a remarkable experience in and of itself.
Well, you certainly have mentioned a lot of those named actors that, as you said, I would love to have a conversation with, from Cicely Tyson, Ruby Dee playing alongside, and Alex Cross with Tyler
Yes, with
Perry.
Tyler Perry and
And yes, Matthew Fox, I mean, Tom Hanks, all, just as you said, to be able to sit down and have a conversation with them, along with these actors. Is there a dream director who you'd like to work with or that you've already worked with?
well, Mark Forster in A Man Called Otto, tremendous talent and just a very approachable director, very collaborative, and just a gentleman, a mensch to be around. As a matter of fact, I recollect hearing one of the crew members when I was on set remarking that this was the best set he'd ever been on. And that's because the tone is set at the top by the director, Mark Forster, and by the lead actor, the person who's number one on the call sheet, Tom Hanks. And they established the kind of and created the kind of environment that was just a playground where people felt free to explore their characters and to offer suggestions. So that was a great experience. I mean, there are a number of wonderful directors that I love to work with. I've never really thought about working with certain directors or certain actors. It's kind of just happened organically so far, and I just hope more of that unfolds in the future.
Well, I'll tell you, from the acting, being a lawyer, being a business consultant, a politician, certainly a master of ceremonies, a playwright, and all of that. And you talked to briefly about, pursuing one's passion. What other advice do you have for those who want to make a meaningful third or fourth act of their lives?
Well, a couple of things. First, I would be remiss in this interview if I didn't credit my mother and father of blessed memory for providing me with the kind of foundation and the kind of confidence that would allow me to believe that I could succeed in whatever area that I devoted my attention to, provided that I was the kind of person that individuals and others would like to work with. So I want to first say that. In terms of general advice, I would say, be fearless. Trust your instincts. If something does excite you other than what you're currently doing, if you have other passions, pursue them. And they might become vocations, and they might simply be avocations, but they can be absolutely rewarding, notwithstanding whether or not it's the thing that allows you to continue to make a living, continue to earn money. I think those are important ingredients. And the other thing I would say is to continue to network. If there's an area that you would like to explore, if there's somebody that you can reach out to who knows even a little bit more about that area than you do, then don't hesitate to contact them. I have generally found throughout my life, and it's certainly true with me, that people love giving advice. They generally are good. Most people are good, and most people enjoy helping others. So they're more than willing to spend a few minutes to kind of help you chart your future course. And one vital thing I think that's important for all of us as we're aging is never to use our, never to lose rather, our youthful idealism and our youthful energy and our youthful perspective. I know that my three children, who are now 35, 31, and 23, have helped keep me young in terms of what I learned from them and what they might expose me to. And I know that I've, even though I'm 71, I never think of myself as 71. So I don't embrace that kind of ageist mindset. And I think that's important, to just keep a youthful perspective, laugh a lot, continue to meet and interact with and befriend and establish relationships with people who are different than you, people from whom you can learn something. You know, right now, the play I'm in now, I'm the oldest cast member by 30 years, and only two people are in their 40s, and the rest are like in their 20s and early 30s. You know, and I find myself being invigorated from simply being around them. So surround yourself not just with people who are young chronologically, but even more importantly, with people who are youthful as regards their thinking and their approach to life. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the most critical piece of counsel that I could offer to anybody who's considering their second, third, fourth, or fifth acts, who are moving from one season to the next.
Certainly good advice, because I'll tell you, Peter, no matter for me, and when I've emailed, called, or had a request, no matter sometimes what coast or what country you're in or headed to, you certainly have been generous with your time, your efforts, and so appreciative of that. And that contributes, and as you said, and what's important, that youthful perspective, and just your generosity, and your willing to give to the Cleveland community and to those that you have come in contact with, I know has been a great contribution to your success. So you're in a play now. What's next? What's next on the horizon? What should we be looking for, looking to see from you next?
Well, I'm auditioning for something virtually every other day or every third day. So hopefully some of these casting directors or directors will say yes to me. But I am currently planning to be in three films this year. One in that'll be shot in Atlantic City, in which I'm playing a jazz musician who's trying to reconcile with his son. I'm also going to be in a short film that's only going to be 3 to 5 minutes at most, in which I'm the only character, and I'm somebody who's in purgatory. And so that's kind of an interesting, wow, surrealistic piece. And then I'm very excited about a film that I'm also a co-executive producer of, as well as playing the lead in, called The Last Shop on Walnut, that will be shot here in Northeast Ohio, hopefully this fall, in which I play a reclusive lamp store owner and his journey throughout this film is a fascinating one, and how he begins to open up again to the world. So I'm excited about those projects. I'm hoping to complete my fourth play, but just find a little time, because that's one of the, as a matter of fact, more challenging than acting, I find, is writing, because it just requires a degree of solitude and a degree of concentration and a degree of fearlessness and energy in working through temporary writer's blocks and grasping those ideas that really help you propel the story forward. So, you know, and then I've got a major trial, civil trial, that I'm co-counseling that is to go to trial in 3 weeks. So there's a lot that's going to be going on the rest of the year. But the best thing that's going to happen to me the rest of the year is in August, I will become a grandfather for the first time.
Congratulations.
My oldest son and his wife are expecting. They got married last year and they're expecting their first. So I think being a Papa Pete or Grandpapa Pete is going to occupy a fair amount of my time this year and well into the future.
Oh my gosh. And what a legacy you will certainly be passing on, and for a grandchild to look back and can look at all the films.
And if I might remark, that's very interesting you should say this, because if somebody asks me what motivates me at this stage in life, there are two things. I'll start with the least important first. and that is to stay relevant. I want to remain a part of the public conversation, whether it's on issues or just that, you know, I don't want to be the subject of those columns, whatever happened to. You know, I kind of want to stay top of mind in terms of people say, oh, yeah, I just saw Peter in this play, or I saw him in this film, or I just went to a performance of a play that he wrote, or I just got through working with him on a project. So I want to stay relevant. But the other thing is I want to continue to build legacy. And I think there are three ways you build legacy: through your family, through objective items you leave behind. You know, I just did an interview with the History Makers, and that interview is now on file at the Library of Congress. The History Makers was founded by a law school classmate of mine, Juliana Richardson, who grew kind of unfulfilled, or who found her career as a lawyer, a corporate lawyer, unfulfilling, and started this project whereby she has traveled across the country and has taped extensive interviews with thousands of celebrated and accomplished African Americans. And all of these are housed, all these interviews are housed at the Library of Congress. So that's something that my great-great-grandchildren will be able to listen to and see, and will get a sense of me, though they probably never would have had the opportunity to meet me. So building legacy through objects that you leave behind, physical, tangible objects, and also through community impact. You know, I feel good about the fact that I authored the legislation that's created the Ohio Commission on Fatherhood, and other pieces of legislation I championed when I was a state legislator that are still in effect and contributing positively to people's lives, and the things that I did as a county commissioner, and even perhaps more importantly, though more invisibly, the people that I, when they call me and ask for advice in a variety of areas, you know, I just spend the time necessary. You know, I think I've been extraordinarily blessed in terms of parents, in terms of spouse, in terms of children, in terms of the things I've been able to do in life. And I believe that my contract with God is that he will continue to keep me protective cover, provided that I, whenever I can help somebody, you help somebody, take the time to do so, that I'm not selfish, and that I pass my blessings on and pay it forward, as people like to say.
Peter, thank you so much. You certainly have been an inspiration to me this morning, and I'm sure our listeners will have found our conversation motivational as well as they go on to consider, you know, I don't know what act you're on.
Well, it's funny. I say, I think one of the longest plays is Nicholas Nickleby, and it takes like 9 hours. People generally have to watch it over 3 days. So there are multiple acts. So I like to view my life as the equivalent of the play Nicholas Nickleby. And I don't know what season, what chapter, what act I'm in, but I just hope that there are a few more surprises that lie ahead.
And that's great, because I love a great series. I think about binge watching series, you know, as they come on Netflix. So certainly we will not mind binge watching your series and legacy.
That's funny. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
Thank you, Claudia, for inviting me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were inspired or motivated to continue to your encore.